Hello everyone, welcome to the PC Gamer podcast. My name is Tim Edwards, I'm the editor of PC Gamer. Today we're going to be talking about men in feudal hats, shooting men in the bum, men with big swords, men who shoot other men, and men who've got blades coming out of their arms. There's going to be a lot of men, no girls allowed.
Woman, yeah.
Sorry guys. Joining us today we've got Rich McCormick.
Hello.
Hello, Rich is our staff writer and most frequent flyer at the moment.
Yeah.
Tom.
Hello.
Tom is your section editor.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to sort of remember my job titles.
You get confused about my job title on a regular basis.
That is true. I don't really know what it means though. Like, Tom just does everything. And Craig. Craig is news editor, but actually looks after reviews.
Yeah.
We should.
It's
probably
a trick.
I get paid twice as much as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's actually true. So right, launching straight into it, we just put an issue on sale recently. It's issue 224.
Yep.
And on the cover is an excited man in a hat.
You can't tell if he's excited.
He doesn't look excited.
In fact, you can see his lower teeth.
He looks intense. You know, in the version of that image, you can take the mask off and he's smiling underneath. But we decided to stop him smiling and put the mask on.
Is that like the Lara Nucci?
Yes, exactly. It's a Photoshop hack.
He's got a metal mustache.
Or layers, as we call it.
What game could we be talking about?
So we're talking about Shogun 2, which is the lead review of that issue. And it turns out to be good. Which
Wait, is it called Total War Shogun 2?
Yeah,
they've changed it around. The other thing to say about the cover is that right until we sent it, there's some Japanese writing in the bottom left-hand corner of the magazine. And until about 2 minutes before we sent the cover, it was only one symbol on there, which would have just had show. So the actual second symbol is gun.
That's how foreign language works.
Yes.
We almost did the English tattoo thing.
Yeah. So Rich, as a resident Japanese history expert, can tell us all about Shogun 2, can't you?
Yeah, there were some men. They got in big fights a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It's in Japan as well.
What Rich is actually trying to say is that he actually reviewed Dragon Age. But Shogun 2 is really good. We've been playing it at lunch actually a lot. And it's just like, so I was playing a historical battle this lunchtime against some men in green, some men in white, and some men in red. And I was betrayed by the men in green and the men in white, even when I was meant to be fighting the men in red. And it was pretty much the best lunchtime ever.
Sounds feudal.
Yeah, it was. It was extremely feudal.
Feudal to the max.
Bet you're shaking your fists at people.
Yeah,
max feuds.
So we've basically, this is the one thing I can't wait for lunchtimes now, because we've had StarCraft 2 going for a little bit, but actually more exciting Japanese men hitting each other. It's just going to be amazing. Lunchtime.
It looked fairly epic. I was watching over your shoulder and just repeated burning men screaming a lot.
But I think one of the kind of key changes to the battles themselves is they're a lot more, just a bit more dynamic in that the movement speed of the cavalry and the men has been upped ever so slightly to what it was in Empire and Napoleon. But that means that charges and feints are possible. And you can actually cause a kind of chain reaction. One of the smartest things I did in lunchtime, which I almost won, I'm really kind of pissed off, was use some cavalry to charge towards some spearmen, but then feint away at the last minute so he didn't actually engage and kind of pulled to the right. And they kind of pulled round to actually kind of follow where we're coming to make sure I didn't kind of charge them again. But then being able to just, at that point, firing volleys of fire arrows up their bum and coming in with cavalry afterwards to basically just expose people's flanks. It's just absolutely amazing.
Is there a button to press to cancel a charge, or is it? Okay.
That's just backspace, I think. It's got keyboard shortcuts.
Wow.
What's the button to start a feud?
There is a button.
Control F.
Yeah, there's a button to rally, which is Shift R. And what that does is your general holds a little fan up.
Yoo-hoo!
Over here, boys.
How does everyone see it? Surely your male's being in the bathroom.
It's a massive fan.
No, it's not a massive fan. What it is,
does it feel the waft?
It's got a mirror on it, and it glints in the light.
That's quite clever.
That's quite clever,
surely only for like one person.
Yeah.
To go around to each of his men. Like,
are
you seeing that? Are you seeing that? No, to the left? Okay.
But it kind of makes you fairly inspired about history. If all you had to do to rally your troops was to hold a fan up in the air and kind of wave it a bit, like
See, I should know that with a legitimate history degree about Japanese stuff, but I'd never heard any fun thing like that.
Also, some of your men have giant balloons kind of attached to their back.
Yeah, I want to find out about that. I assume
they're paratroopers. They just waft down from the clouds. Dropped by dragons.
They drop cavalry from aeroplanes.
From dragons.
Dragons.
Yeah. That's what they use instead of aeroplanes in those days.
Okay.
I think we decided to just give them to the best soldiers. The best soldiers get a balloon to take home.
So the thing we've got one kind of crazy thing to say about Shogun is that the way the multiplayer works is you can join a clan and the clans are based on your Steam group. So if you are a member of the PC Gamer Steam group, then you can join our clan and I can direct you around the map by putting a little counter on where you should attack and where you should not attack in the kind of...
How big are the games? We've got like, what, 30,000 people?
Yes. This is what's making me quite excited because having led like a number of very engaged people in World of Warcraft where 700 people turn up to do stuff and that kind of thing. That's quite exciting.
You've got an actual army now.
36,000 people invading Japan. Is like, that's a serious force.
We can probably take it, guys.
So if you are going to kind of buy and play Shogun 2, please join PC Gamers Clan. I will direct you in the most ludicrous way possible.
No, there's no democratic kind of consideration here. Tim's just going to leave.
So there's an entire game
mechanic. Tim doesn't know the password to the Steam community. So.
One person gets to pick up a counter and decide where everyone else attacks. Mm. So this is just going to be amazing.
What about free will? What of free will?
Crushed.
Well, in I think you know, I'm going to be rallying my troops with my tiny little fan.
He's going to turn over the fan on Monday.
So that's why we got sent a fan through the
course. Yeah, pretty much.
So you can just go like that. Deadline.
Yeah.
Take a photo of you doing it on your iPhone and send it to him.
Actually, that's
post it as an announcement.
Everyone's looking over here.
That'd be great. So come and play Shogun 2 with us and read the review because it is good. The other thing, like more seriously, Al reviewed it for us and he completed about two and a half campaigns before he
died of exhaustion.
Yeah.
He's playing on hard as well, wasn't he?
Yeah. So he played one on medium and one on hard and. I'm going to be very careful about how I say it because I don't want to be bitten in the arse later when it turns out to be just a complete crock of shit. But Al didn't come across any AI stupidity other than some small things about the way archers engage when they've run out of arrows. The campaign AI was good and didn't do stupid shit and... Mercy of mercies, they know how to use boats. And like the very first paragraph in the review is about how Al was kind of charged out from his fort to take on his next door neighbor, and some guys landed some troops behind him and kind of took his capital city very early on. It seems like a significant step up to Empire. Now, the thing is that's one guy playing it and enjoying it, and one of the way the faults in Empire came about were 20,000-30,000 people playing it and all noticing it. So I hope and I think it's a better game and it's going to work out and the AI is really, really kind of solid this time around.
Mm.
But it's still going to be a case of having many thousands of people playing it and hammering on it to see kind of whether it responds to it. I'm fairly certain there's going to be some gaping hole somewhere. But
it seems like by focusing it on kind of tightening it and smaller, making it smaller, there's more room to focus on that rather than having every eventuality covered by
precisely
brains.
Like in Empire where it's trying to cope with Indian campaigns, American campaigns, European campaigns, trading in all those areas, sea battles, everything else, it's just I think CA bit off too much, far more than they can chew. Now, Empire is actually like fixed now. If you go and play Empire, it is an extraordinary game. But at launch, there were kind of clear AI problems with it. And I think, it's kind of a sad time.
It's a good time now.
It's a good time now. Brilliant hats. Hey, feudal hats and paratroopers from
balloons,
dragons, which is what we want to play. Now, in other kind of ludicrous madness, Bulletstorm will be out by the time this podcast comes out. And Rich has reviewed it.
Yes.
And the review will be on the site before you read it in the mag. Just because of the way deadlines work. What do you think of it?
I had a lot of fun with it. It is... Part of me went into it thinking it's going to be this horrible, heinous, over, extreme version of games. But it is. But it is in a way that kind of is incredibly knowing. It's written with a lot of heart.
Yeah.
I say a lot of heart. They talk about the word cocksuckers used too many times.
That doesn't sound like heart. More like, no.
Like Deadwood.
Balls, yeah. Balls is hearty ball. it's more importantly, the shooting and the things you can do to people always feel fun.
Right.
Every fight in the game I was thinking, I can't wait to get to the next fight as well as this and have this fight rather than just, oh, another fight, yeah. another fight. And it takes a while to get used to the mechanics, but when you...
So the key to it is doing weird shit with people
yeah.
as they're kind of slow-mo falling through the air.
You can shoot people with your gun, which obviously you can do in a lot of games, and that feels, it feels okay.
Yeah.
And the gun, it's kind of a hose gun. It takes about 30, 40 bullets to kill someone straight off.
Only one gun.
No, there's loads, but the one you start off with kind of takes a while to get moving. So the Peacemaker carbine's the main one you use. That's just kind of a typical machine gun. You kill people without you at 10 points, or you can use your electric leash to pull people towards you. And then when they get really close to you and they're in slow motion for some reason, and that's never explained, which is good, then you can kick them away and they go back in slow motion again. Then you can shoot them a few times in the balls while they're in the air. Then you can leash them back again and you can kick them forward again. And keep doing this a few times until you get bored of them and you see their faces kind of making these hilarious faces. Then you can either turn and kick them off a cliff, or you can use the leash to smash them down into the ground so hard that they flick back up in the air. And then when they're up in the air, you can turn your gun to overdrive mode, which makes it spin, fizz, and loads of stuff come out of it.
That should be called Bulletstorm mode.
It should be, but...
Also, the game doesn't sound like it should be called Bulletstorm. Leashy Storm or something.
Ridiculous shit storm, yeah. I think, probably. And then, yeah, aim at them in the sky and shoot them so hard with the 100 bullets you fire from one clip that they turn into a skeleton, a bright red skeleton, and fall to the ground as acid rain. And then you can do that with, like, with, like, six people at once.
Why... I know this sounds a bit like an odd question. Why not just shoot him?
Well, you can just shoot him, but you only get 10 points for that.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
But there's the points thing to it, but there's also the fact that just shooting him feels weak and flimsy, yeah. and doing all the other stuff to him doesn't. That makes you feel like you are in control.
Is the game much of a challenge?
Yes. It's the bosses, for example, are people you can't do this stuff to normally.
Right.
Lame.
Yeah.
But what you can
do... Do you have to shoot them 3 points?
What you can do with the bosses is you hit them so hard that they have to kind of like... They fall forward and you shoot them with various things to make them fall forward. And then when they fall forward, you can whip the hat off. And then when you whip the hat off...
Oh no, my hat!
Games are fucking brilliant.
Secret to my power.
Okay, so you get better off the hat. And then you can then sneak around the back of them when they're leaning on the floor. Kick them in the arse so hard that their arse flap lifts up.
What?
Exposing their open ass.
Is this a flap in their armor?
It's a flap in their
armor. Oh,
it's
okay.
Not
a
flap in their
body part. It's
detachable. Not like skin. It's a flap in their armor. And then you can shoot that so much that the person falls down, farts a big fiery explosion and dies. And that's called Ring of Fire. And that gives you 500 points. Or you can whip their head off after you've taken the hat off with the leash. And that then makes them also... Then the bossy pulls the head off and kills them, and that gives you 500 points. Or you can flick them up in the air using the thumper, bring them back down again, kick them around a bit, and then do that to them again.
Well, how many points
is that a boss?
About 1,250 or something ridiculous. Like you can build up the bosses are kind of they're fairly regular. There's a couple of big bosses, but the bosses
so you can
are,
still use leash on them, just not yeah. in the same way.
They're too heavy to like pull around as much as you would do normally. But
it sounds brilliant.
there's a lot of kind of it's very easy to go into it with this kind of sniffy attitude of well this just sounds like lowest common denominator.
Well, that's because they portrayed it as
it is completely lowest common denominator, but it turns out that's quite fun. There's a reason that lowest
maybe
common denominator
maybe you are the lowest common denominator. Yeah.
There are so few just pure shooters now. Everything has to have
exactly.
It's from the painkiller devs. I mean,
yeah,
but it's nothing like.
It's not even a pure shooter sense.
It's a lot. Painkiller is very earnest, and a lot of them are kind of very earnest in the way they're we want this to be awesome and cool. This is kind of awesome and cool, but in a they almost can step away from it as well. Even though it's still got some heinous stuff, like the strong female character having to have daddy issues and. She couldn't just be a real woman. She's this weird fake creature.
But I thought all girls had daddy issues.
Well, obviously that must be true according to FPV games.
Would you recommend people buy it?
Yes, it's not very long. And the multiplayer mode, there's only one multiplayer mode, which is a 4-player co-op, which is incredible fun. I got into it with another 3 other people. Yeah. But we finished it within the very first time we did it. It's 20 waves, and we, after an hour and a half, we'd done all 20.
Okay.
And once I'd done that, and the single player mode, which took about 8 hours, I could go back to the multiplayer mode and have another lovely time.
The only thing I was going to say, it looks like it's built for a pad.
E kicks on E, leashes on Q.
Okay,
it's about as easy as you need, really. Thumper is holding Q until they flip up in the sky, trying to think anything else complicated. I think C is the like turn secondary fire mode or something. Right.
Okay,
everything else is fairly simple.
Fine, that sounds great.
It's surprisingly fun. Short, but
would
a blast.
Okay, so here's a question. if you pre-order it or buy it on Games Windows Live, you get a copy of Gears of War as well. Is that worth putting up with Games Windows Live, or would you just buy it on Steam?
Yeah.
So it's more a question about Gears of War.
How's the multiplayer work? Does it use Steamworks or Games Windows Live?
The ones I was using was using Games Windows Live.
Lame.
But yeah.
No budgets.
Because there's only four people, it's easier to get in, but obviously it's still heinous.
0%.
I don't get it. I don't understand why this is just hanging around still.
I don't know.
Maybe it's just because of the freebie or something.
I think it's something to obviously do with Epic. The fact
but
that
I mean, Epic used, UT uses Steamworks. They switched it all over to Steamworks.
Mm. Yeah, UT used Steam, but Gears of War was a Microsoft thing, but this is an EA thing.
Yeah.
Maybe they just
I am audibly shrugging.
Yeah, maybe they're just like, oh shit, no, yeah. Oh!
Who put Games of Windows Live in this?
Yeah. They might, I mean, yeah, it's quite early, obviously.
Own up, come on.
It might be different. So I'm trying to remember all the things I did now. Like there's one of the, in the multiplayer mode, you're four of you obviously, and you get, there's one, I think wave 17, we had to get another 2,000 points or something at the end to get past the limit. One guy left to kill. And the last guy they were sending out is always a special kill, so you can kill him in a specific way with all four of you doing it at the same time, and you get a shitload of points. Right. And this one was, I can't remember what it's called now, Whiplash, where all four were like, more than one of you have to pull him apart with your leashes.
That's awesome.
So okay. We all went to the four corners of the map and kind of we were communicating with each other. So there's me, like Quinty from RPS, Will Porter, another Polish guy. And we kind of went 3, 2, 1, across all these languages and all these places, 3, 2, 1, grab him. We all at the same time, I couldn't see the other guys, but I could see the leashes come out of nowhere. They grabbed this guy and just tore him apart, blood everywhere. And we got the score by like plus 10 over what we actually needed. And they're just cheering around the room. People watching us as well. Just go, yeah, I can't believe you did it. We'd been at that for ages. I mean, real kind of, it takes a few turns to get into it because you cannot, if you kill people on your own, you get nothing. And that affects the entire team.
Yeah.
So it can be horrible with randoms, I assume.
Yeah.
But when you're playing with three other friends, it's very, very good.
Oh, that sounds like a right DOS.
It's
a fun moment as a developer to watch like a bunch of players all cooperate and do something that you intended for them to do and get the kick out of it that you hope they would.
The literal kick.
I've got this kind of weird kind of relationship, I think, in my head with Bulletstorm because I love the mechanics of it. I think it's so funny and so silly. But at the same time, like, it is so dumb.
Yeah.
Like, just excruciatingly stupid.
Yeah.
That I feel almost embarrassed that I love it that much.
I said in the review that I've written that you kind of, I stepped away from myself for a second when I was doing the multiplayer mode and just realised I was screaming, shoot his ass, shoot his open ass to another, to a room full of people. Yeah. And you've got to realise sometimes that's okay. I think in gaming, you don't have to always be highbrow and say, sometimes you are allowed to say to another person, shoot him in the ass. Yeah.
Rich also done Dragon Age, isn't it?
Yeah, well, let's give someone else a chance to speak. Craig, Battlefield 3.
Yeah,
we've seen
it. Surprise, wasn't it?
Yeah,
no one knew about that.
No one knew about that. So Craig's been to see it actually, and he'll be in the next issue. But we can talk. So Craig saw a lot of the single player stuff.
Yeah, they were only showing single player stuff, which is baffling.
So what we should really talk about is what we want to see from the multiplayer bits, because that is cool.
I mean, I can tell you what the engine does. Yeah. The engine's got like a large scale and small scale destructibility now in it. So like you can shoot like tiny little bits of concrete away from things and it'll expose whoever's behind it, which is kind of cool. But it can also do massive stuff like giant earthquakes. It rips up the ground and stuff like that. I know. So I'm kind of hoping that sort of earthquake style thing could be brought into a multiplayer map.
Nukes.
Yeah, or just, if you control like three control points in a map or something, the other team's side just gets all ripped up and like, gets thrown around or something like that.
Do you think Conquest and the mode they added,
Rush,
is enough? Just like more Conquest maps and more Rush maps.
Yeah, I would say that's
okay.
That's enough for me. I haven't really played much Rush when I've been playing Bad Company 2. I've just been stuck with the Conquest stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
I like Rush better. I think without an aim and intention, teams get too aimless. But that's.
I thought I liked Rush more as well until I went back to Conquest and realise that Rush, you just spend most of your time as infantry, and that's kind of the worst bit of Battlefield.
I think that's the best bit of Battlefield.
Yeah. I agree.
I like medicing and sniping.
I'll be in a tank, you can be in a...
Wait a minute, I'm reconsidering now.
I kind of, part of me hopes that they'll do something a bit similar to Payload in Battlefield 3.
I always thought Payload was fairly similar to Rush in a way anyway. We'll see.
I don't know. My problem with Conquest is that it doesn't have a big end. It's just a point ticks down and then the match is over. And sometimes you're doing really well, like you're on a 10 kill streak, and then suddenly says you lost because your team ran out of points, and it just doesn't feel very relevant to what you're doing. But Rush, in theory, should solve that problem. I can't really explain why I don't enjoy it in Bad Company 2. Yeah. Like, I just haven't got into Bad Company 2 in the same way I have in previous Battlefield games. And it might be to do with the size of the maps and the number of players or something, but it just, when I'm going for an objective in Rush, it just sort of feels like a grind. It's just like, get there, blow it up, move on.
It's often like you throw yourself at the objective and then you either die or you do it.
Whereas what I do enjoy in Conquest is looking at the big picture and saying, okay, everyone's rushing ahead, but we only just took this point and I think they're going to retake it, so my squad's going to hold up there and defend that point, and then realising that won the game.
Yeah.
So the thing I love about Rush is this, obviously you do throw yourself in the objectives, but the times when it does work and you are, you know, spinning around on the spot, taking out people left, right and centre, and you are the person that plants the objective charge.
I often think that in those maps, defending is a lot more fun than attacking because you just kind of, you know, you get a more continuous feeling of what's happening rather than right now I'm dead, go back, run a little bit. The other thing I was going to suggest is that on the Conquest maps, I don't like the way that stuff can be taken back almost instantly. I feel like if you take a point in Conquest, it should then be locked for like a certain amount of time before it can then be retaken.
There's the way it works in like with the capture speeds, it just depends on how many people are around it, and one person can block it. So if you have people defending, then in theory, that like if you just as players entrench your position well, then it's going to take them a long time just to be able to get the flag back. I think mostly it's just player coordination is not that great, and they kind of just think, "Yay, get the next flag!"
Yeah, so you just end up with this kind of circle zerg, don't you? Where you're just kind of rotating around.
Yeah.
Because, but like, if you can lock it for a certain amount of time, then you can then move your troops somewhere else. And then when it's coming back to about to be unlocked, you can always come back and try and defend it again.
I think it probably works better with Battlefield 3 is hopefully bigger maps as well, because you get more time to entrench and then think, right, let's actually push back to that position rather than the warnings you get in Bad Company, which are, you know, so quick by the time you're fighting, you never get back in time.
They're going to have jets. So they'll be big enough to have jets.
Jets!
That's the cool thing about it for me, because I think we talked about it last time in a speculative way, because it hadn't actually been announced at that time. We didn't know any details, but we now know that it's going to be 64 players on PC. And
which is just absolutely brilliant news. I mean, I was so cynical about it, so I just thought it'd be a
PC lead platform, isn't it?
Absolutely PC lead platform.
And it's something like 24 more players on PC than console.
There'll be urban maps as well, properly.
If PC is the one thing you'll say is that if PC is the lead console, now is the opportunity to fix the fucking
server browser.
Gosh, please.
Well, actually, I have to say that Battlefield Play for Free,
the
one good thing about it is it does match you straight away.
That's good.
Seems to work.
They should just use Steam. Please use Steam.
You can't. Well, they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Probably not. They always like to deck it around with their server browser.
Yeah, they do.
EA want to do their own thing, don't they?
Yeah.
Even though they publish Valve's games on the shelves. Yeah. They're one of the least kind of Valve-friendly.
I mean, Battlefield, obviously, Bad Company 2 was on Steam, but it just couldn't use the server browser.
EA's got a massive PC lineup this year, if you think about it.
Is this sort of thing you shouldn't be talking about, though?
Well, no.
I thought you were going to spell out the secrets.
Battlefield 3 and The Old Republic this year. It's just huge. You guys looking forward to Tor?
No.
Yes. She's weird.
I'm always really sceptical of MMOs in general, and pretty much the only MMO I'm looking forward to is Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
And that's kind of come from just being excited about a lot of different MMOs in the past, and every time one comes out, I play it for about 10 minutes and realize I just hate the feel of the combat and the quests are unexciting, and it's so close to the WoW template that it's hard to get interested in. And The Old Republic, I think the whole, like, you know, properly voiced quests and stuff and some of the structure of it is generally different to WoW, but not in a way that really gets me excited.
So being Knights of the Old Republic 3 isn't enough.
Yeah, I'm not. Knights of the Old Republic is one series I didn't really get into from BioWare, so it doesn't tie into that.
See, I'm sort of similar in the way that I don't get excited about any MMOs really, but this is the one that I think, A, because it's Star Wars, I like Star Wars, and B, I played a bit of it, and it seems like...
Liking Star Wars is a bit of an understatement, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little bit, but I can tell you a lot about Star Wars. We shouldn't get started now, though, it's a 3-hour podcast, but still, I think, I've played a bit of it, about 6 hours of it, and it felt I can see why I kept myself away from WoW deliberately, so I didn't lose myself to it, because it has that kind of compulsion. It has, but it's also got the BioWare touch. There's one quest I had to do where you have to, it was nothing to do with collecting.
Did it have
stuff.
Strong female characters?
And that, well,
they fully voiced female
actually,
characters.
There's sort of a strong one actually. Yeah, there's two lovers who were obviously in love, and they weren't allowed to be in love because they were Jedis, and I had to either decide to break them apart or tell them to lie and be broken apart, or just say get on with it and don't tell anyone.
Can you just lightsaber them both to death?
I think that was, I'm not sure it was one of the options. Yeah, but it was, I was the Jedi Knight, so I was obviously pious and good and everything. But I end up saying, shouldn't you be thinking about this? And they went, yeah, I don't. The guy went, I don't love you anymore. The woman went, what?
Yeah, I just said, MMOs now and BioWare talky now.
No, it's not really.
Well phrased. MMOs, BioWare, talky now.
See, he's a patient man.
I think it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about it.
It's the first MMO that I actually plan on subscribing to, apart from Planetside. But
yeah. So yeah, okay, Planetside. Let's get to that. What?
I don't know.
Planetside next. It's going to be what, PS3 and PC.
Yeah.
And that's done quite well for DC Universe. Okay?
Yeah, it has.
So as and long as it's got good shooting, everything about Planetside fascinates me apart from the shooting. At the same, you know, I was playing Halo and that was quite a good shooter. Yeah. And then you go back to planets and you realise just how sort of...
Well, the thing is, it faked us so much of it because it was just using probability kind of curves. So we did a story on the site a couple of days ago about WoW and one of the latest patches. And it's tangentially really interesting because one of the problems with WoW and the MMO model is ping times. So WoW, it turns out, is essentially two separate servers that you connect to. There's the world server, which has all the kind of metagame stuff attached to it. So guild chat and auction house and everything else. And that's not lag dependent, really. It doesn't matter if you're a second late with a chat channel, unless you're kind of being mobbed by baddies. But then there's the world server. Yeah.
Help, elves!
And then there's the world server that does all the kind of minute-to-minute interactions or second-to-second interactions about spell casts and movement, all the rest of it. And they ran a change in the way that WoW pushes out data, which changed the ping on the instance server, which is the one that does all the minute-to-minute stuff, from about 170 milliseconds to 20 milliseconds. And that is enough of a small... Like, that's enough of a change to enable a proper FPS MMO.
Yay!
So is this world speculation going that they're... Is that us saying they're going to do an FPS MMO?
Yeah.
But
that's always been basically the big problem.
Yeah.
Imagining an FPS MMO.
Because there isn't really a mechanical reason you can't just have TF2 with 3,000 players.
No.
It's just that there'd be a lot of lag.
So many hats.
Yeah.
If that ever happens, I'm never leaving my bedroom.
Just all those backs to start.
Just imagine being like
I've managed to wean myself off TF2.
Get the PC Gamer Guild of 700 members to all go medic and you just be a heavy in the middle. And they're all Ubering you and each other.
Cry some more!
Oh, God.
Maybe that's Valve's next secret.
Yeah.
Because you'd only have to have, to make it work, the medics can be Ubering each other, all except for one, so that there's one Uber left over to Uber the heavy.
Yeah.
So you could just alternate who that one person is, so there would only be one vulnerable medic in the chain at any given time.
It would
be
tossing
around between 700 people.
Get him! No him! No him!
Oh, God. Please, yes, someone make a game where I can do that. That'd be amazing.
I think on Planetside, people, you know, will derive the shooting, say it's not very good, and it feels more like a kind of a cone. But it was 2003.
Imagine the internet back then. Still had good shooting.
But imagine the internet back then. Yeah. I can't even imagine what the internet was like in 2003.
It's not that long ago.
It was
invented.
What was an internet?
Did you know Google bought YouTube in like 2005?
Mm, incredibly depressing statistic. Yeah.
So
it feels more recent than that.
Yeah, it feels like YouTube's been around forever.
Yeah, it feels like YouTube's part of the fabric of daily life. You can't imagine a world without it.
Maybe hate YouTube.
I kind of can.
If you ever need to, it's
one of those moments.
I have a theory that YouTube is intentionally bad when you're not logged in. Like, there's a bunch of features that are really easy for any website to fix that they intentionally don't fix, because it pisses people off and makes them more willing to sign up and make an account.
How does pissing people off make them more willing
to
sign up?
Because once you're signed up, you don't have those problems. So, if you start watching a video and then you maximize it, like, to full screen, it raises all the pre-cache stuff that you've got so far and starts again from scratch at a new resolution.
That's a new thing as well, isn't it?
Sharper. Yeah. And the only way to disable it is to create an account and set it as a preference to say don't do that. And there's stuff like the language bar. You know, it knows full well what country you're in, and it has a giant thing that's like 400 pixels tall, just ruining the whole layout of the page, saying, looks like you're in England. We put it in English. Do you like English? Are you in the UK? Click OK. And the only way to disable that is to be logged in.
Never mentioned YouTube to Tom on a podcast ever.
We're so sorry, everyone. Hard, right?
Games, people, come on, games.
So, speaking of videos, Dragon Age 2, that's full of videos.
It's full of videos.
Buffering Dragon Age 2.
I watched the first 15 minutes of Dragon Age 2, and I saw one very good visual joke in it that I don't think anyone else noticed.
What's that? Which was, I do know what this is, yeah.
So, it's a bloke.
No, maybe I don't.
Describing.
It's a bloke? What?
It's a bloke describing what happened in a battle. And it cuts to the battle, and there's Hawk and his sister. And his sister is very chesty.
Yep, that's it.
And then, so they play for a little bit, and then 5 minutes later, it stops and said, no, what really happened? And they have a big argument about you weren't there, all the rest of it. Then it cuts back to the battle, and her sister has lost a serious amount of chest.
I know.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
Well done, by the way. It's really good.
Yeah, it's clever, that. Because to give a bit of context, in the first battle, you do it as Sevarix the dwarf who's talking about it, and then he's talking to Cassandra, who is a chantry person who's looking for Hawk, who is the champion of Kirkwall, for some reason. You never really find him.
Yeah. Craig isn't going to play
isn't
this
the man
game.
For this kind of game, no. And then, so Varric tells, because Varric was a companion to Hawk, and Varric says, this is what happened to Hawk, this is how he or she came out of Lothering, which is in, what's it called, the previous continent.
The place.
Yeah, I won't go on. Anyway.
Skyrim, I think it's called.
And so the very first time you control your Hawk, they are just chock full of amazing powers that you don't get till much later in the game, because he is embellishing the story.
Yeah.
Obviously, that includes embellishing the breasts as well. So
I'm told this is called abilities, as in a tease of your abilities. When
abilities. Clever. Mm-hmm.
I hate that.
I quite like it. I think it's quite clever.
You just shouldn't be allowed, though, should it?
But
anyway,
when I played as a rogue, the rogue later ability, well, the actual abilities, not the abilities, are amazing. Like the backstab, when you can chuck the fire. I repeatedly, even very late game, was just using the backstab over and over again because I had it down to such a very short cooldown time. Yeah. Chuck a flask on the floor, appear behind them, and just stab them as hard as you can. And they just burst in this amazing way.
Your eyes are glazing.
I'm not sure
over
the
feels amazing.
I really enjoyed mages last time round.
The mages this time are the combat.
Magier, if anything. Yeah.
Double as mage.
They're maging.
Very good.
Yeah, the combat is everybody was.
It's more like dragon mage.
Everyone was incredibly panicky about the combat. I was going, oh no, everyone's turned it into Mass Effect, they've turned it into an action game.
More like Mage Effect.
Let Tom get out of the system for a while.
Have you got any more, Tom?
No.
Not sure that's going to be more. And it's not. This is basically exactly the same as Dragon Age, except all the cooldown times come at the end of the thing. So if you want to attack a man, you don't go spam, spam, spam button. You right-click attack, the attacks happen. You press one on the toolbar to do your one attack, seven to do your seven attack. Healing's easy.
That on the console, it's like almost like a Diablo thing.
On the consoles, it's more like God of War, you have to spam every button, but that is not the same on PC. Okay. And there is no tactical view in the way that you can't zoom all the way out and move the camera around, but there's a little fix to that. If you play as a mage or have one in the party, like you will do most of the time, any area of effect spells, you can move around the battlefield freely.
On the PC or the console?
PC.
Okay.
So you can look around anywhere as a kind of, you just set up an area.
They called that something. What was it? They did that thing where they go, and this is blah, 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 2.0 to me.
Combat 2.0. Camera 2.0. Mage 2.0.
Counting down.
You've played as a rogue.
I played as a rogue on my first one. I've done a bit as a female mage and a bit as a female warrior.
So what are the
specializations
within the classes? Because that interests me.
There are, so for rogue, for example, there is, I picked assassin as my
kind of, like stabby.
That's super stabby, mega damage. So you get one at level 7 and one at level 14. And I got to about, I think, level 23, 24 by the end of the game. Mm-hmm. My ones were duelist, which is kind of a call people out on the battlefield, kind of, you sir, come here.
And love slap.
Anyway, that was all about kind of leading people around while other people hit them in the back. So that was kind of anti-rogue in a way, but it also kind of, Isabella is...
So you turn someone to a duel in the middle of a fight and they come over to you and then you stab them in the back.
Oh, no, you get your friends stabbing back, you run around the battlefield going, woo! With the glove still in hand.
Slapping you repeatedly in the face of the glove as you go.
What have they done?
And then there's one that's one of the other specializations. So there's three kind of, there's a lot of specializations, basic ones that all rogues get. So archery, stabbing, things like that, dual weapons.
I really want to have, at one point, a really good archery character.
Yeah, Varric.
It was almost impossible in the first game, wasn't it?
I tried to play archer and, God, I had to download a mod that let me spec myself again because I couldn't deal with it. It's just every time you did the, fire a bow. Yeah.
But now a small amount of damage.
Yeah. Now Varric is, who's the Dwarf King, he's got a crossbow and he's specced up to be an archer, not completely specced to be an archer, but he's along the archer path.
Okay. So, but your main character, you wouldn't recommend going to archer?
I probably still would because Varric's, his skills are...
Is he a fun guy?
Yeah. The thing that I did, and I never did in Dragon Age, I always picked the same three people. And I picked out, I had Alistair, I had Wynn, and I had Morrigan.
Yeah, because you had to have Alistair and Morrigan, otherwise the game didn't make any sense.
Yeah. And then it was also, and I had to have a healer, because otherwise... Yeah.
Well, because I always had, like, my character was a healer, and then so it was Morrigan,
I hate playing as a healer. You can't, all the one-on-one battles you can never win, I find, as a healer. But anyway, in Dragon Age 2, every time I did anything, I always changed at least one person, just because I wanted them in the party to play with them.
Is there a dog in it?
There is there's like a pre-order bonus you get on Steam that gives you a dog.
There is a dog. I stabbed a shitload of dogs, so so there's at least some, and they're
I'm
all dead.
About a friendly dog.
Is there a party member dog?
No, well, if Tom says yes, then probably I wasn't playing with any pre-order bonuses.
There's a bit of DLC that gives you access to some black market underneath the city and gives you a bunch of overpowered items for free. I just know they're overpowered from reading the description. And gives you access to buy even more powerful items, and the items they sell get more and more powerful as you go through the game, and also they give you a free dog.
See, I want to play with these bones.
DLC.
It'd be interesting to play with someone who just does vanilla and someone who gets Steam and gets a better experience.
Well, I mean, I think all the there's an extra person now as well that you can get, but he doesn't sound too exciting DLC wise companion.
Oh, God's sake!
But it would work. For,
they put work into that, and then it's just you can't have it unless you do it this way.
Buy it from Best Buy now,
or download a save file from the internet eventually.
Yeah. Is he called Dwarf L Content?
Tom's on fire today.
Major
set him on fire.
What is it? What does it L stand for? Loadable?
His middle name. Yeah, it's just meant to be DLC.
Loadable.
I know what it's meant to be.
Yeah, we got that.
Don't worry, you might have missed it.
Hey guys.
In the first game, you got a dog and you could name him. I don't know if you can name the companion dog in the second one from the DLC, but the best name I heard for it was Barkspawn.
I call mine Flipper in the first game.
I call mine Fatso just because it's really bulky.
But yeah, I found myself changing characters repeatedly. I mean, there wasn't really one. I mean, Anders from Awakenings comes back.
I haven't played Awakenings, actually.
I got very confused with
I forgot that existed, actually.
Expansions and DLC.
Apparently, like,
Awakenings is 30 hours. Well, Dragon Age is 80, so...
It's 10%.
If you want to catch up on Dragon Age, like, before you've...
YouTube!
Start playing last year.
110 hours?
That's what I did before Dragon Age 2. And God, my Christmas was fun. It was fun because I enjoyed the game.
Oh, this is fun.
When you put in 12 hours a day on it,
curse your terrible life.
I know, it's awful. Sitting on my pants playing again.
How many hours was Dragon Age for you?
I did a lot of stuff. I only left to kind of a very few. There aren't that many get 10 things quests, but I did miss a couple, and it took me 50 hours. 50 hours and 40 minutes it took altogether.
So that's shorter than the first game.
Yeah, it is shorter.
But still pretty fucking long.
My arithmetic says that is definitely shorter.
I should also point out that you do spend most of the game in the same city, which is...
See, that's weird. I don't understand that.
So you go to... Because it's across 10 years.
Is there a lot of caverns underneath it?
Yeah, it copies the Mass Effect and Dragon Age thing where they all look quite similar,
right.
which is probably the biggest failing of the game, is the fact that you don't really leave the place... You don't really feel like you go anywhere, particularly. You go down the coast, you go to some caverns, but you go to a mine that you got part ownership in, you kill a shitload of dragons in. But apart from that, you don't really
such a weird addition. Yeah, you part owner of mine.
That comes after you kill the first dragon.
Here's a side main you don't fully own.
Yeah, well, the guy you get it off is hilarious and even.
Just a lodger.
I think you think of the option to leave the dragon.
To a dragon.
Is the dragon, does the dragon own another part of the mine?
He's got a timeshare in it. He can mine it on weekends.
That'd be a good idea. I had to kill him. I had to kill the dragon because you own it with a hilarious Antivan. He's written to be hilarious, who has a lot of problems with the mine because every time he sends his people out there, those people die because the dragon's there. And Dingle, you're going to kill the dragon. Well, you don't have to actually, but.
I heard that when you found a previous Dragon Age character was in it, you started clapping a little bit.
I think. Oh yeah, yes, yeah. I'm not gonna say who it was, but yeah. But there are some. Won't ruin any further than that.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, Isabella's back, and she was in the first game as completely different coloured hair person.
You see, I can't even remember she
was,
Isabella.
She was a dueling teacher in the back of.
That
Lusty
is
Pearl or something.
That is quite a reach. That's like. As characters go, yeah. The dueling teacher.
They should have really.
Did she teach you around going, no, Jesus.
She does, right? She doesn't even wear any trousers.
And then have a friend stab him in the back.
She actually does do that one, I think.
When you finished it, did you stand up and go, brilliant, that was amazing? Or did you go, oh, thank God for that?
I went, oh, because the ending's fairly horrible.
Oh, spoilers.
As in badly made or just dark?
As in a.
And it's inevitable as a Dragon Age 3, isn't it? Let's face it. So
yeah,
was it all a dream?
Let's just say the ending's not up to the same quality as the rest of the game. I was quite disappointed by the ending.
Oh,
but it's what I can see them doing now is having each Dragon Age rather than big sweeping adventure is kind of a city story, which I'm fine with because this one works really nicely. Just having
an interesting structure,
getting to know a place, and there's so many places that they could do this because there's so much lore behind it all that you could easily have cities around Thedas that you could just go to.
So the story, is it a kind of big save the world thing, or is it much more focused?
No, the structured narrative is that Varric is talking to Cassandra. Cassandra needs Hawk to save the world at some point, but. There are three kind of core acts in Kirkwall. So there's year one, which is the very first time you get there and you have to get into the city, which is kind of a mini one. Then there's year three, year six, and year nine. And each of those ones is kind of punctuated by a massive political shift within the city that is wider, that explains wider things in Thedas, but also is just mainly the city. So you've got to sort out city problems or not, or make them worse, or other things you want to do. Essentially, you've got to rise to power by any means, and the means can be quite nasty or they can be
altruistic. So you're trying to become like mayor or something?
Champion, which is kind of
champion,
everybody's favourite dude in the place.
I want to be everybody's favourite dude.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to...
Lady Hawk or Man Hawk?
Lady Hawk, so you can hum Lady Hawk songs as you play.
The Lady Hawk is she's no Jennifer Hale voice wise, which people have said. Yeah, it's Jennifer Hale, isn't it?
Yeah.
And people have said, oh, I hope she is. She's not quite as good as that. I played Manhawk just because he's got an awesome beard. And also,
you
I want to
look
like
yourself,
like
him. Though,
because
you're such.
But no, the preset nice. Man looks a bit like me. That's what people have said.
And you created someone in APB look like you as well, though.
Because I always like to play as the person I am, not some kind of, I don't know, weird.
Is there any
elfin
play a world fantasy game? I'll be rich.
I find the default male shepherd looks a lot like me.
Can mages turn into spiders and bears again?
I don't know actually. I didn't level my mage down shapeshift far enough to get shapeshifter stuff. I don't think so.
I might play
so.
A mage again if I can turn into a bear.
See, I never did that in the first game. Morrigan obviously is shapeshifter, but I always found she was useless when she
turned into a spider, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So unattractive.
Cool. Well, that's Dragon Age 2 done. It's got a score on it. Very good.
clap, clap.
Deus Ex?
Deus Ex. Before we talk about Deus Ex, when is Bulletstorm out?
Bulletstorm's out on...
It's out on American Tuesday, the 22nd. It's out on Friday, the 25th for us.
So are we putting this podcast up on the 22nd?
We'll put it up as soon as it's ready. So the scores will be out because we'll have a review out.
The reason I'm asking is I'm under embargo for half of the Deus Ex stuff I saw until the 24th.
Okay.
So if we're out after that, I can tell you everything.
Let's talk about everything, and then we'll save it.
Sure. Okay. I played Deus Ex Human Revolution for 3 hours. And last night, before I played Deus Ex, before I played the third game, I once had a dream that I got to play the third game. And it was amazingly good. I woke up so excited about it. And then I, like, one of the things, one of the... many reasons I was looking forward to playing it, was like, then I can stop dreaming about it. But no, last night, I slept for 12 hours and just had this epic dream about playing Human Revolution, like, all the way through, and it was really, really good.
So Deus Ex consistently voted as the top, the best PC game of all time.
Wasn't it the first time last year, though?
No, second time. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It depends on how you ask during the top 100 meetings. Also, Tom, you should do a review of your Deus Ex stream you've been on.
Yeah. 90%.
And then I flew home.
So you played the first 3 hours of it or something?
Yeah. It took me about, it was the first, could take you 2.5 hours. It took me 3 and a bit hours because there's a save game corruption problem with the early code that meant every time I died, pretty much my saves were corrupted and I had to restart.
This is the boring bit. Tell us about the
whole lot.
How many people did you punch in the face?
So there's a half hour bit before the credits that is kind of not that great. And I strongly suggest you treat it as an interactive intro and don't make any assumptions about the full game from it. And it's basically you're a head of security for Seraph Industries. You are in charge of safeguarding your ex-girlfriend, a scientist called Megan, who is about to reveal major scientific news to Washington. And the game starts literally as she's about to fly out and you're trying to arrange security for her. And then while that's happening, your facility is attacked by a bunch of augmented dudes who just start killing all the scientists. And they do kill all the scientists in the building. And during that, you're sent down to try and stop them. And you're just given... you already have, in fact, an assault rifle, and you just have to kill a bunch of dudes. You can sneak past them, but you can't use any melee attacks or any kind of special abilities or anything. So it's literally just kind of a shooter in which it's possible to sneak past people for that first half hour. And it gives a really bad impression of the game. It's not a bad shooter. You know, it's got this cover system that's really neat. You can do forward rolls between cover. You can shoot gas barrels that choke people. And the enemies kind of patrol in quite an organic way, and it's different each time. Every time you play a section, they patrol in different routes. But yeah, it doesn't feel like Deus Ex. There's virtually no choice. And then at the end of that, you are injured in an event. And it seems to...
an event, eh?
I'll say that even after seeing how you get injured, I don't know why you just lose both your arms. It seems more or less like you're shot in the face to me, but whatever. And that's why you have robot arms for the rest of the game. So you're... unconscious, and your employer Sarif has you augmented without your permission or anything, just because you're going to die if you don't have bits of your body replaced in a fairly dramatic fashion.
They're the augmentation people, aren't they, though?
Yeah, they're Sarif is one of the leading augmentation corporations.
He's under an accident, they follow it in a cupboard full of arms.
Are they mentioned in the original game?
No, but there's loads of references in the intro bit where you see boxes from Page Industries and VersaLife connections and things.
Okay.
And there's a very strong hint that there's something a bit sinister about the this big discovery that your girlfriend has made.
It's a Greasel.
It might be fucking Greasel.
It might be, because that's one of the ways it's communicated that it's sinister is that there's a link to VersaLife to do with it.
Okay.
And they're the ones who make Greasels.
Just a Greasel pops up in the corner of the screen and goes, no.
Maybe the whole quest of the game is to prevent Greasels from ever being
Greasels.
I don't know why, but of all the screenshots that I've seen, they all look amazing. They're really good, really well put together. I just want one of them to be photobombed by a Greasel.
just in the corner.
Yeah.
Lol.
So
I think we've confirmed that there are no Greasels in it. I think we checked that.
Can we unconfirm it?
No, it's fact now. Anyway,
did we ask? Did there are no Greasels in this game?
Yeah, I think it was somebody else in the first preview event I went to. He asked, "Are there any Greasels in it?" I said, "No." What do you think that?
So does it start with two men talking sinisterly under a giant
hand? Oh, more than two, three men, I think. And in fact, it's very obviously a sort of almost line by line version of the Deus Ex 1 intro. Right. It's just like, is everything in place? Yes, it's proceeding as planned. Let's not tell whoever's overhearing this what it's about.
The most sinister people possible in the most sinister hall possible.
Yeah.
Has it got a very reflective...
And really annoyingly, the writer said to me afterwards that, did you recognize one of the voices? No. Who the fuck was it? Now she won't tell me. But it's probably one of the conspirators in the first game, let's face it. And also, even if I knew, you probably wouldn't want me to tell you.
Where was the lab that you were protecting? Where are the locations you played?
Detroit, I believe. am I right in saying that? That's where Seraphine Industries is based, and that's where what I played is based, because when you get augmented, the process is actually, it's really early stages at the time the game is set. So for someone to get augmented, it's incredibly expensive surgery. It takes like a year for them to recover from the surgery. And for the rest of their life, they have to keep taking this anti-rejection drug so their body doesn't reject the implants. And if they don't take that, the implants start to stop working and they can eventually die. That drug's really expensive, so the whole thing is something for the super rich. And you recover unnaturally fast, so you're ready in 6 months. So the game cuts to then 6 months later. You're basically coming back to your job as head of security at Sarath. And everyone's kind of gossiping about you and saying you're not ready to come back and all that stuff.
But you have excellent ability to pick up crates now.
Yep, you can now pick up mega crates.
Seems to me if I had metal arms that were like that, I would just go back to head of security. I'd become a wrestler or something.
Well, at the start of the game, because you've got robot arms, whether you want them or not, that's one org that you already have. Yeah. And that the use of that org is knocking people out or killing them with the giant chisel hands.
So the chisel hands come as extras.
Yeah. They're default.
The blades that come out your arms, they're built into the augmentations.
Yep.
It's for cooking.
That's what's
So is Sarath as a company, are they a military?
They are private, and they sell to the military and to other applications.
It just seems like, it's not just helping disabled people. Or
what I love is, like, you've lost your arms and everything, you need some more to survive, and your boss Sarah was like, can we put giant blades in too?
I think he's ridiculous.
But it's great, because that really fits with Sarah's character. You get to know him. He's this kind of, like, he's a really smart, intelligent dude, but he's also, just really kind of maverick, like, lunatic dude. And, he's always just, going for the, like, maximum technology, maximum awesome. And so the idea that it just automatically give you blades that shoot from your wrists and kill people is completely natural.
So you're about to die and you need new arms or else you'll die. Does that also include having glasses stitched to your face that flick out in front of you? You need them.
No, I think you had those before. Anyway, when you come back 6 months later, everyone's gossiping about you. You're in Sarath, in the lobby of Sarath Industries, and in their headquarters. And that whole thing is just one giant hub, like UNATCO HQ and Deus Ex. Cool. And you're free to just wander around it, have you, like, talk to people. There's, like, memorials to the attacks, which were 6 months ago. There's your office. There's all kinds of other people's offices you can wander into.
So, a really important question to answer yes or no. Did you read your girlfriend's emails?
Yes, all of them.
Did you go into the ladies' toilets?
Yes, all of them.
Can you report this? It does properly do.
There is an acknowledgement of it. Not from the ladies in the toilets, because they're actually in the cubicles, and so they're just talking about you, and you can't interrupt them.
Did you hack into the broom cupboard?
There isn't a broom cupboard as such that I could see.
Minus 5%. Is there some robot vacuum cleaners?
Can he jump on them? Any.
Is there a sinister looking bit at the base of the base in which the
something might happen
a door
later
with a code that you can't open?
Yeah,
I didn't find one, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Okay. Is there a button in the training section where you press the button and they go, "Oh, that's fine, we're just testing you out"?
The secret boss from the intro turns out to be horribly evil.
Did you go up to your boss's office, reach over him when he was working at his desk, type in his password?
I did that to my girlfriend right at the start, because she's saying, "Oh, we've got to go leave for Washington, let's go," and you're just given free reign for like the first, before you leave that room. And so I just go, "Okay, well, let's go." And I just typed in the computer, read all emails. She's like, "Hey."
Do they acknowledge it?
Being head of security, you have a response to that where you say, like, "What have I told you about protecting your PC or something?"
Also, I've got robot arms, motherfucker.
This is before you get robot arms.
Are there any flags you can pick up?
I feel like we're not really focusing on it. I haven't got to the part where I fight enemies yet.
Listen, all that shit's good, but this is important. Can you pick up flags and throw them at the head of your boss?
I didn't notice any flags lying around.
What about plant pots?
One thing about that is that when you throw stuff at people's heads, they don't acknowledge it in any way unless it kills them. In which case, they acknowledge it by dying.
It's not fine.
That's fine. It's fine. It's fine. No. It came to my skull. You've gone too far, Jensen.
Okay. So, also, like, before we get to the combat, where have they said you can go to? Because the thing about Deus Ex is you go all over the shop.
Yeah. Definitely Detroit, Shanghai. Montreal.
Montreal. I don't want to go to Montreal. Montreal's boring.
They're based in Montreal. They have to make it.
It'll be Montreal in the future for the robot people.
Apologies to any Montrealites.
Montreal has the underground city.
Well, yeah. Have you been to the underground city?
Yeah, it's a series of tube stations.
It's a series of tube stations, a couple of and shops. Shopping malls.
Has it got some mole people in it?
But in the future, it's going to be an amazing palace, probably.
Full of mole people.
I've got some friends who live in Montreal, and part of my honeymoon was passing through Montreal.
It sounds like you didn't have a good honeymoon.
Who had an excellent honeymoon? Is Montreal boring?
Oh,
okay. There's that other place in the middle of the sea as well, isn't it? That installation with a big hole in the water.
Yeah, we don't know where that is. Really, yeah, but sea. Any, let's call it.
So those are places that weren't in the original Deus Ex. Interestingly,
what?
Then none of those are places.
It seems like the North Sea, yeah. Like, you know, Shanghai. Is just,
Shanghai,
you know.
Hong Kong. Yeah.
Do you? When is it set?
2027, I believe.
2027. When was Deus Ex set?
Now you're testing me. It's Deus Ex 3 is set when J.C. Denton was 2 years old. Paul Denton is like 18. Okay.
So is there any opportunity for them to actually show the bombing of the Statue of Liberty?
I don't think Deus Ex specifies when that happened. It's just in the past.
Yeah, it's just the attacks on the tower.
They haven't repaired it yet, but... Knowing New York, that doesn't mean much. They still haven't repaired the fucking World Trade Center.
Yeah.
You can't really repair what's not there.
Well, rebuild.
Okay. Let's talk about what you actually did in the game.
Yay! So you fly out to... there's been an attack on one of your facilities, surprisingly. And you fly out in a chopper with David Sarah himself, your boss, to deal with it and rescue some hostages. There's... The terrorists are purists who anti-augmentation, and they've stolen a prototype of a new org that you're going to release, which is one of the more ethically questionable ones, which ejects bombs from your skin to blow up everyone around you.
I thought you said it was ethically questionable.
So, yeah, that is... How far away from you do the bombs...
How big are the bombs?
Are they bomblets?
It's the one painful. That... It's in the trailer. Yeah. It's... just kills everyone in a short radius around you. It's upgradable so that it can... first, it just stuns people, and then the next level up is like proper bombs, kill people and stun robots, and the next one up kills people, kills robots.
I
assume that's a bigger radius.
Why would... You kind of confirm the existence of robots.
Oh, yeah, there are robots.
Why would you need to do that? Well, what's the application in daily life, or is it this for military stuff?
It's military, yeah.
But even then?
It's pretty clear that the cybernetic industry exists to serve the military to make super soldiers, but they keep trying to justify and, you know, give themselves good PR by giving stuff to schools and things.
How's the... What do they give to schools?
There's social orgs, mind-reading shit.
Not the fucking spikes in the arms.
Generally
the bombs
not the chisel
skin.
Fists, no.
Are they kind of like social org stuff? Does that extend? Is there more of a kind of fiction about, you know, I don't know, like sexy orgs and other things people might do?
Hang on, I'm going to Facebook, yeah, my org.
Yeah. So none of you want to know about the combat. it's very much... The social orgs are quite big in the plot because that's why... It's such a big deal that only the rich get these orgs, because to be honest, having stronger arms is not that big a deal when there's guns around. But being smarter and, you know, being able to progress more in society is creating a big rift between the rich and the poor.
That's really cool. It sounds really well written.
Yeah, there's it's the very first conversation is a little bit
this is the evil dialogue bit.
No, sorry, first conversation once you're in the game, which is you on the phone to someone else at the security thing, and you're chewing them out for not doing something properly, and you just come across as a bit of a jerk. And I think it might just be an early version of that scene. There's a couple of places where the voice acting is really ropey. There's the tech guy, the equivalent of Alex Jacobson, is horrible stereotype. He's the most like slimy asshole
really
dude.
Guy.
Yeah. And you think, like, you're making a game, guys. You are nerds. You know what nerds are like. We're not all dicks.
Maybe they are.
Yeah, maybe they are. But yeah, generally, like the whole themes and the way the world is crafted and the amount of stuff there is to read about, you know, that gives you really interesting insights into what's going on. Like I was saying, there's kind of a sinister overtone to what your ex-girlfriend is about to reveal, and there's loads of information about that and all the technology stuff. It's all really convincing. It really feels like a well-developed world, and there's loads of really interesting backstory to every little quirk about it. Like, there's a guy with an eye patch. the first villain you fight has an eye patch, and I literally laughed when I saw him.
It's a cyber eye patch.
And then there's loads of really confusing stuff. Like, your boss says, oh, it can't be the same guys who raided our facility 6 months ago because these guys aren't augmented. And then you hear a SWAT guy saying, oh, I hear this guy was like augmented. And it turns out there's this really long story about that where... This is a guy who was a soldier, lost his eye in the war, came back, and the government offer a program to veterans where if they agree to go on another tour of duty after being injured, they will get a free augmentation to, you know, repair their injury and make them more effective. And so he went for that because he was broke, and got a new robo eye, and then went on another tour of duty, had a horrible, horrific experiences where he did terrible things he wants to forget, and he starts to blame the augmentation for making him do those things. He thinks his eye is evil, and so he gouges it out. After losing his eye once, he gouges out the robotic eye and then joins the purists, and that's why he's raiding your facility. But I was very impressed that there's, even when you see something like, this seems a bit stereotypical, there's actually a really interesting story behind it.
That's cool.
They clearly just went, I want a man with an eye patch. It's like a story.
Yeah.
So compare that to Dawn of War Retribution, which has, we'll put pirate hats on the orcs. Why? Because they're pirates.
Exactly.
No, that sounds absolutely great.
So on your way to the facility,
carry on.
Sorry, there's what I actually call combat at some point.
Just 1 minute on combat. Go.
I'll skip to the actual fighting bit. You have to choose what weapon you want via a kind of two nested thing. So you say whether you're going to kill people or not, and then you say whether you want to do it close range or long range.
Stick with the
prod. And I said, prod with the prod. I said, pretty much prod with the prod. I said non-lethal and close up. So I got a stun gun, which is like a taser type thing, and it fires like a stun dart that electrocutes people. It worked out really well for me because I was playing on a Xbox 360 and I'm shit with a pad and just cannot aim for shit, and that made the game really fucking hard. It's quite hard anyway, like particularly if you play on Deus Ex difficulty, you just die in like two hits. If you can't aim for shit, you have to stay in cover, and the cover system basically lets you peer around the cover that you're in because it's in third person, and then you can blind fire or you can lean out and fire. Obviously leaning out, they see you and you're exposed. But the stun gun is, blind firing is really inaccurate. A stun gun only fires one shot at a time, takes a long time to reload, very limited ammo. But if they're close enough, you can risk blind firing with a stun gun. So my favorite thing was to like wait for someone to come over and investigate me, and then just as they're close, like reach up almost into their groin and just shoot a point blank range into them.
Why does this bush hate me?
The stun gun, it seems to make a fair bit of noise, but actually it's counts as silent, or at least the guards don't seem to hear it from any kind of distance away, and you're not exposing yourself, so no one sees you. And so if anyone looks around, they're just, the guy's there, and then the next second he's not, because he's fallen over.
It's an impulsing man, they say.
So it's really fun just like diving around a room and doing all that kind of stuff. And then once you take a gun off an enemy, if you pick the stun gun, that is all you get. Like, that's your entire inventory. You just got a stun gun with like three bullets or something ridiculous. It's really, really ammo scarce and harsh. And basically, I ended up with the guns. I was so shit at aiming that they were pretty much useless. You do kill with a headshot with an unarmored opponent. But much more useful for me was the melee stuff, which is use your robo arms to either knock someone out or kill them at close range, and it's just an instant kill. Like, there's no kind of chance of it failing or hit points or anything. It's just you take them out.
So I heard you had a bit of a disaster with some hostages.
Okay, so the melee thing takes up one pip of energy, and this is very early in the game. You're not even supposed to have orcs at this point except for the melee. And one pip of energy is pretty much, it's the only thing that regenerates. So if you lose all your energy, only the first pip regenerates naturally. The rest, you have to find consumables, which turns out is just a energy bar. You just literally eat an energy bar to refill your energy bar.
So you have
yeah. But anyway, every melee takedown takes up one pip. So if you don't have any energy consumables with you, which I didn't for 90% of the game, you have to wait for it to regenerate. So there's this, like, if you have two people closing in on you, you can't just knock them both out. You have to decide, okay, if I can get away from these guys, I can get that guy on his own, take him out. And I got to a point where I was trying to rescue some hostages from a bomb that's going to go off. And it's like a gas release bomb thing. And I couldn't find a way to defuse it. I ran into the room and they said, don't run into the room, or, you know, don't use the doors, after I'd run through the door. Yeah. And it turns out the doors are what trigger it. And I couldn't find a way to defuse the bomb. Apparently there is a prompt for it, but I didn't see it. And so I went up to the hostages and it says, press the melee button to knock out or hold it down to kill them. I don't want to kill them. I guess I'll just tap it. So he punches this old woman in the face.
Take that hostage.
I'm kind of thinking, well, if they're knocked out, I can pick them up because you can just drag any corpses around, and then I could like drag them to safety because I don't know how to like tell them to go to safety. Yeah. And then when I'm dragging the old woman across the room, I realize the door is locked behind me and I've got the bomb. And there's no reason for you to punch or kill the hostages at all. You're just supposed to defuse the damn bomb.
So they had a really shit day.
I just choked to death and then all the hostages died and then I had to reload a previous save.
Accomplished. Brilliant. Going back to what you said about the, you get choice between lethal, non-lethal, long or short. What are the other options then?
If you go for non-lethal long range, you get a tranquilizer dart gun, which is basically a sniper rifle that tranks people.
Wouldn't that work well just in close range as well?
But it's pretty cumbersome apparently. I didn't use it myself, but the scope is like really, really zoomed in and it's inaccurate when you're not using that scope. Mm. And by the way, people who are knocked out will be revived when a guard finds them. So if a guard comes across an unconscious friend, he can wake them up.
Can you put them in cupboards and stuff like that? Or?
Yeah, you can drag them around. And I had the strength mod, and every time you throw a corpse with the strength mod, it just like flies wildly into the ceiling. It's ridiculously strong. Also, there's a bit where there's a security turret facing you and you have to find a way around it. And because I had the strength mod, I picked up a big crate and had it in front of me and moved towards it with the crate in front of me. And then when I was close enough, I slipped around the back. And then I realized you get a prompt to pick up the turret. And I'm so strong, I just pick up the turret and then just move it wherever I want it. So I just made it like face a corner.
You stay there.
Apparently, I didn't go back and try it, but the close range lethal is the Magnum revolver. Okay. And the long range lethal is the assault rifle. So kind of the boring option.
Cool.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it's awesome. Almost as good as my dream.
Well, what if you'd have scored your dream, what would you have given it?
Well, okay, it was really satisfying. It had this really good like dark brooding atmosphere, and it was just like a really exciting world to be in, which is kind of, that is reflective of my hopes for the game. It kind of feels like it has a really well developed world and somewhere you really want to explore. But I did encounter an AI bug in my dream where five or six guys are all bunched up around a door and I could just headshot each one of them one after the other without them reacting to it, which also actually reflects a fear with Deus Ex because the AI did do some weird stuff at times. Like,
that's understandable.
Yeah, no, you shut a door and they're like, where did he go? Or they're chasing you and they kind of bunch up around a doorway and stuff like that.
Do you reckon that'll stay in the final game? Or
I'd be surprised if the AI was perfect. But I'm still kind of excited about it because the AI was really unpredictable. It was just, it would change its routine every time. It would search for you in different ways.
I really hope there's a kind of a level or bit in it that's a kind of throwback to that bit in New York where you have to take down the radar dish.
Yeah.
And you can see the entire building around it and kind of...
Yeah. The level I played, you start on a rooftop and you can see down into the street... And immediately wished I got the Icarus landing thing because I could have just jumped off the building and landed silently. It would have been
amazing. I've seen him playing it, and the guy walked through a lot of streets to get to a building to get into it, and it was just like, yeah, you could have went in the next building and jumped over from there and blah blah blah. Yeah. So it seems like it's quite open.
Fantastic. I love the idea of just here's your objective, get there.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a good PC game.
Yep, I think it's going to be.
That's probably about it for the podcast. Well, actually, we'll do Twitter questions. But I want to say first, we're really interested to discover how many people are actually listening to these podcasts. So if you can do us a favour, and in the comments of the website where this is mentioned, can you just say hello and say you really like it or you don't really like it, or you tell us what you think of it or what we should do in it? We're dead curious, basically. And partly because it's going to cost us a load of money to actually measure you. So we're just curious.
In a big meter stand.
Giant tape measure.
Yeah.
Or stand end to end.
Yeah. So let us know what you think, because we want to try and make these better. Now let's do some questions from Twitter.
Am I on Twitter duty?
I'm going to read them out because I've got them here. He says, yes, I do have them here. Right. The first question is from Peter Meach, actually, who sits over there. He's basically that way. He wants to know when Guild Wars 2 is coming out. 2012, maybe this year? I think. I'm fairly certain it's not going to be this year.
Be beta this year.
Yeah.
Or alpha, something like that.
I keep forgetting 2012 is next year. I was like, it's not going to be 2 years, Tim. It's really crazy.
The world will end then. Anyway, it's fine.
Modivolge asks, are you a Company of Heroes fan? Yes.
You are.
I like it.
I don't play this game as Tom.
I think it's mechanically probably really good, but I can't get excited about World War II, so I just play Dawn of War instead.
Okay. I Am Meat asks, yes, where is Half-Life 2 Episode 3?
Mm-hmm. We're giving you the Valve answer.
It's not as if we know, though.
So the only thing to say, though, is that Portal is out in just a couple of weeks. 4 weeks.
Portal 2.
Yeah.
from what I understand, like the opening bit is very similar to the opening of Half-Life.
Huh. And you maybe go, it is episode 3.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's
you get a choice when you get a choice when you play. It's like Portal 2, episode 3.
Oh, that'd be amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Just reskins the same game.
Yeah.
Lutman says, "Why are developers still using Games Windows Live? Don't they listen to PC gamers?"
It's an elaborate practical joke.
They have been.
No, they don't.
You know, most have dropped it now, so it's either their own experiences or they have listened to us just bitching about it. But there are still a few people who are just like, it does what we want it to do. Yeah. You know, some people work.
Fucks everyone off.
Yeah. Lunatic asks, does anyone at your office think the new Blizz and Bungie MMOs could be Halo Online and or Call of Duty Online? No. I don't think they are. I think the Halo one will be new IP and I'm sure the Blizzard
one
will be.
Oh yeah, Bungie can't do a Halo game anymore.
They're sick of it anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, and the
Blizzard one has been repeatedly confirmed as new IP.
And it's not as if they were hired by Activision. Bungie went to them with a game. So
Chris Baldacci asks, any more news on that Planetside like Dust 15 something?
Well, I saw it went out to Iceland. They were talked about a lot more than I thought they were going to. It's moving along. There's platform discussions going on at the moment. It's still quite early in development from what I saw and heard, but it is moving. Right. So the news is it'll be next year easily, or maybe later if anything. But
okay, Dusty Gherkin asks, what's happened to that's a brilliant name.
Yeah. I don't want to eat it though.
What's happened to the XCOM game? Also, Minecraft Diary finished. No!
To do the Darth Vader one.
XCOM games all gone very quiet. I reckon it'll be shown at E3, I guess.
Yeah.
I reckon it's touch and go, really. Like, it has to have a fantastic E3 showing this year.
The last video was amazing. I don't think.
I assume it's just like timing. Like, they wanted to talk about Bioshock Infinite a little bit. Yeah. They didn't want to go straight back into, whoa, XCOM. Yeah.
And like 2K run very controlled PR campaigns.
I've not heard much about Bioshock. I mean, recently.
Exactly. They'll throw something out there and then it'll be dead silence
unless
for nine months.
Unless it's Duke Nukem Forever.
I kind of prefer that. Like, I don't want to be sick of hearing about a game by the time it comes out.
Yeah.
Lostboy92 asks, where is the Minecraft server?
Oh, many a story.
Love Brett. Happy face.
Essentially, multiplayer, because the people who made the quick version, people who made our mod that we used for it, Stop Griefing, have now disappeared, decamped another mod that has not finished itself yet because they keep changing it. As soon as Buckets finish, which is the mod we're going to use, we're able to switch the server over. But because multiplayer have made the server different, I can't control the old server anymore. It's basically a loose cannon. So new server will be up soon, hopefully with the old files.
So we can still save the old world?
Yes, fingers crossed.
We can still save the old world.
Okay. Is the server up at all?
No, because I can't. I physically, I'm unable to stop it, restart it. It's like it's got a mind of its own. I'm scared of it.
Can we send a team of saboteurs?
Can we not just do that? And if it's got a mind of its own, let's just see what happens.
I can nuke it from orbit. I think it's the best way.
If we absolutely clean the...
Or can you just email multiplayer?
I have done repeatedly, and they said we can't do anything about it. Yeah, they're saying that they haven't because if we want anti-griefing stuff on it, then we have to completely start again. Also, I've not been in the country long enough to actually sort it out.
X25 Killer asks, I can't think of any questions for your podcast, so I'm going to say thanks for your reviews and keep up the good work.
Yes,
fuck you.
What?
Wow.
Don't Eat Yellow Snow asks, what's the best connection to ATI 5870 to Dell 24-inch DVI HDMI display port? PC mostly used
for gaming. You can just stop asking.
Your mistake there
was
assuming we'd know anything about
PCs. I think the answer to that from my end as well is fuck you. Productive Lunch, no, that's something else. Someone's saying they bought a cream egg.
Thanks, readers.
And some envelopes.
Our readers have been very nice to us lately. Yeah. Lots of lovely feedback.
D3FU5I0N.
I think that's diffusion.
Is Crysis 2 confirmed to be holding the DirectX 11 API?
What?
Rich, you must know this.
I saw it holding nothing. Its hands were empty when I saw it.
Duncan Gear asks, Duncan has excellent sideburns. We've discussed this in the past. Best intro sentence ever. I don't know, that's a question.
I think you want us to do one.
It's a response to something we wrote on the website.
Okay, cool. Killfall asks, PC gamer, gaming laptop, big screen, £800 budget, any suggestions?
There's an Alienware one, isn't there?
Yeah.
The latest issue is going to have stuff in it?
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
I heard there's an Alienware M11 or something.
That sounds like you could get a great laptop for
£800. The M11's the one with the tiny screen though, so probably the M17X, which is about, I think,
because the trouble is, like, if you go for a big screen on a laptop, it's a high native resolution.
Yes.
And then you've got to run things well at that resolution, which with a laptop suddenly gets really expensive
And warm.
So, you might be better compromising on the screen for the sake of running everything
well. If you're a student or something, you want something to take to the halls or your flat and then come home with it. Then.
I think the 800 quid budget, you're not a student though, probably.
How big do you want your port? That's the real question you really want to be asking.
Yeah.
Can move your head closer.
how big is your porn, Craig?
My monitor is 20 inches.
And how many monitors have you got?
Two. The other one's 20 inches.
So you've got 48-inch porn?
Yeah, pretty much. Not that I look at porn.
Craig's got a girlfriend. Yeah, well. And finally, that's it.
Worst ending ever.
I thought there was the next question. Oh, yes, there's another one. There's just one.
You've missed out loads.
Have I?
Yeah.
You have been just scrolling through them.
Dong1994 asks, what do you expect from Bulletstorm? What are your thoughts?
We're back in time.
Yeah, we can restart the podcast.
Let me see if I've missed any on your phone.
They're different tweets on Rich's phone.
Well, what ones did you miss out, Rich? You read the ones you think you missed out.
There's only a few. There were kind of some of them were just Follow Friday, things like
about
that.
About buying cream eggs. We don't need to read out of someone Follow Friday.
To be honest, actually, we did ask questions a little while ago that.
We did tons.
Yeah, that was like last week, though. We thought we were going to do a podcast. So, and then we couldn't.
Those questions I saw last week. So.
We had a photo shoot.
Actually, here's one from XL Mark. Too many to mention, but the captions are amazing. Why does Tom Francis swear so much?
Because he fucking loves it.
I don't think I do. I'm not conscious of over swearing.
You should be, because you do.
Fuck off.
That's about it. Yeah.
Did you swear in captions? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Captions are the right place for swearing, though.
Congratulations all for completing the podcast. Please, if you've listened to us and you haven't decided that we're shit, please let us know on the forum. Also, follow us on Facebook. We have a Facebook. We want to be in your face.
And on your book.
It's www.facebook.com/PCGamerMagazine because we created the group before we were both a magazine, website, podcast, and multimedia brand. Thank you.
Bye.
You don't suck. Bye.
Bye.